don't know whether you've seen the signs yet about my shear for next week. So this is a dry run on the shear a little bit. It hit me a fascinating thing, just a horror, that the night of Pesach, which is the night of Kairos, we have a Seder. Like, you know, it's the thing. The defining element of the night of Pesach is that there's a Seder. So the Chara, I mean, the night of Kairos in our mind, in the American mind, freedom is not connected to the idea with putting order on something. Freedom is the idea of being, do whatever you want. That's the idea of freedom. Right? And specifically, the night of Kairos, specifically, it's bound by the concept of a Seder. There's something specific, which there's an order of how things have to be done. I think Chazal had something very significant in mind. I was talking with a fellow which does help startup companies, helps companies, you know, develop their potential, etc. And he used an interesting line to me. It was not in connection with the Shmuz. He says, structure is your greatest source of freedom. That was the language that he used. He says, structure is the thing you resist the most, and structure is your greatest source of freedom and success in a company. What company doesn't resist, what good, innovative developer, etc., balks at the fact they have to spend all this time writing reports and keeping track and, etc., and meeting criteria and all those different things. At the end of the day, that's what's going to keep him on the straight and narrow and get him to where he has to go. So, it's Haloi Dovruhu. Haloi Dovruhu. I told you a story that I had. This goes back, I think it's 1993. So my wife and I were in, this was 94. My wife and I were in Dayton, Ohio for a seed program. And there was a woman there we came very close with. She passed away. So I went there. I said to Hesped, I met a very close friend, I think maybe a relative, who told me he has in-laws in Cleveland. I said, next time you come to Cleveland, why don't you stop by yeshiva? We'll schmooze a little bit. So he came out to yeshiva. A few months later, he actually took me up on it. Came out to yeshiva, and afterwards, he went to one of the, it was a Sunday morning, they have classes for people which are not really affiliated, etc. They have such a program, not from yet, as they call it, so after we met, so I was a little bit, and he says to me, Rabbi, you live in a box, and you interact with the whole world from your box. And he wasn't saying it as a compliment, of course. So I said to him, I hear from your thought process that you think limitations are a negative thing. He nodded his head. I said, so according to your thought process, if a fellow decides to go to college and he's not sure what he wants to do with his life, so he wants to keep all his options open, so he decides he'll take a few classes in the sciences, this way he can go into that field. He takes some classes in the humanities, because maybe he'll go into that field. And he takes some classes in medicine, maybe he'll go there. Some classes in engineering, so maybe he might go there. He takes some classes in law, because maybe he'll do... He said, he's taking a workload of 17 different courses the first year, and because he's keeping all his options open. So after the second year, he decides, he wants to become an architect. So all of the classes which have to do with, biology, he decides they're not really relevant to building houses, so he's dropping that. And he drops some of the classes about the sciences and maybe a few of the classes about the law. And he focuses on engineering, etc. Is that a good day in the person's lifetime, or is it a bad day? So according to your thought process, it should be a bad day, because he's imposed tremendous limits upon himself. Chances are most architects never change. People become architects, never change their career and become doctors in the middle of their life. I know one person, in his 40s, became a doctor, but most people don't do that. They remain architects the rest of their life. So the charet that seems to be according to your thought process, it's a limitation which is imposed upon himself, and it's a very sad day. He should be very feel very sad. He thought for a moment, and he wasn't sure what to say. So he says, so how would you describe it? He said, it's a very, very tremendous moment, because he's imposed limitations upon himself, he's able to focus on what he needs to focus on and develop his potential to what he's really supposed to become. So if limits are not limits, limits are the idea of focusing into something. Yes, you can't focus. Light, which is very spread out in many directions, is not very powerful. You take a light and you focus it in one direction, a very, very focused light, and you get a laser which can cut things, right? Because the focus increases intensity. So limitations are created to help a person create intensity. He says, yes, I live in a box. That's true. And it means I live with limitations. I put certain limitations in my life, which help me focus on what I want to accomplish. It helps me focus and do that. So that's a good thing. So the morale says, this is the idea of mitzvahs. That the mitzvahs, he says, the mitzvahs, the purpose of mitzvahs, morale uses like one of his constant thoughts, mitzvahs impose a seder upon the bria. Mitzvahs are to create an order. The world is a world where there's not order, which it seems to be that there's a lot which is going wherever you want, etc. You know, the truth is there is a nature, there's an inherent seder in the nature itself. There's an order, there's an ecosystem, there's things which, you know, when you disrupt it, it becomes very... when you don't honor the seder which exists in nature, you know, seemingly for very good, even for very intelligent reasons, the results can be catastrophic. But within a person's life, many times a person seems to feel that the life seems to be, a person goes through life and feels somewhat that he has this feeling of that, you know, there's different forces pulling in different directions. It says that their goal is to put a seder, put a certain direction, put a certain focus in a person's life to let him accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Rabbi Kaplan has a little beautiful pamphlet which called Infinite Light, put up by NCSY many, many years ago. So eventually they put it together in an anthology. And he starts off in this book, the part one is called Foundations. So it says, before we speak about Judaism, we have to speak about life in general. One of the most important elements of life is purpose. There's an old song that asks, why was I born? Why am I living? What do I get? What am I giving? I'm not going to grill you on who wrote those words in that song. I see Rabbi Arya Kaplan left the name out of the person who wrote the song. So I'm not going to publicize my knowledge. all those who know the author, raise their hand. Anyway, these are questions that people have been asking. Says, have you ever stopped and asked yourself such questions? Why was I born? What meaning does my life have? Why am I myself? How should I live this one life of mine? What do I have to offer life? And he says, when we are young, these questions many times bother us, these questions, and then we get very busy with life. And then all of a sudden tragedy happens, and the person gets old, and he says, you know, so why did I live? What did I offer to life? What did I accomplish with my life? What was it all about? So he says, the most basic understanding of Yiddishkeit is that the world is purposeful and man has a purpose in life. So the whole idea, by definition, of Seder is that the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and there's an awesome morale, if you can use that phrase about a morale. There's a morale that says like this. He says, he tells him Lechem Oini. He says, Matz is called Lechem Oini. Now Lechem Oini clearly represents Cheres. It's used to represent Cheres. So we're sort of grappling with why something which is called Oini, which has to be an Oni, has to do with freedom. He says that the truth is that any person who's bound to something outside of himself is not free. An Eved is bound to something beyond himself, and he's not free. An Ani, in a certain sense, has an advantage over an Osher. An Osher is bound to his possessions. His possessions define him. So he's bound to something outside of himself. An Ani is just himself. That's all he is. He's the bare bones of his being. So an Ani, in a certain sense, represents Cheres greater than an Osher does. He says, Matzah, which is opposed to Chometz, Matzah is the bare bones of the matzah. It's flour and water. That's it. There's nothing else in there. There's no other ingredients. That's the intrinsic existence of matzah. Chometz already has other things in it. It has, you know, even just the act of kimutz, etc. There's something else in it besides. So this is, he says, when you want to get down to the true existence of something, to the bare bones of existence, that's when you're touching the existence of the person. The existence of the person is the moment when he's not attached to something beyond him, that it's a moment of cheres. That's why the Kohen Gadol wore white when he went into the Kodesh Kodashim. The white represents that also, that it's there's nothing else imposed upon it. It's just it's in itself. So that's what morale says. Then you read the morale and you sort of grapple with that, because it's very clear that our process of leaving Mitzrayim was halo avdei Hashem, halo avdei Parah. We we didn't really become free. We exchanged being avdei Hashem, being avdei Parah, with becoming avdei Hashem. So if you want to understand the morale, you have to understand the morale. What the morale is really saying is that being avdei Hashem is our intrinsic being. That's not something outside of ourselves. That's not something superimposed upon the person. That is us. That's who we are. Whereas being subservient to mankind, to be something to our possessions, that's something beyond the person. But being subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our Creator, to our being, that's why we were created. That's our purpose. If a person finds his purpose in life, that's not called being bound to something beyond himself. That's him. That is his being. That's his essence. That's what the morale is saying. That the message of the night is, this is what we are. It's not, this is what we should do. This is what we are. This is the goal of the night of Pesach is to find what is our purpose. What is the purpose in life? And what do we do with it? Now, in many ways, our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you find that we do many things Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do very little which is Zecher to the creation. Shabbos, we have, even Shabbos, which is my separations, we already impose Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim on it. You know, there's a din of the Kiddush, it has to be Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like, Shabbos is about my separations. No, it has to be Dafka Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because what Yetzias Mitzrayim added to Klal Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim culminating in Matan Torah, is that there's a purpose in life. That there's a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with an expectation from us. That there's a goal. So you can't talk about a purpose, and a purpose that we should have a purposeful life. The universe should have a purpose without having a being which created it. So Yetzias Mitzrayim was our window into Bria. Bria is the idea that if it came into creation, it came into creation for a reason. There's a purpose. There's a tachlis. But we related to that tachlis. The Bereshit says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is tadus elohim al harazeh, is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal isn't freedom. There's a morale based on Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi talks about this idea that you could not drink it in the first kush and the second kush, but you drink the second kush and the third kush. You can't drink between the third kush and the fourth kush. He says because the kush is connected to the dalashen, the four kush are connected to the dalashen of geula. Right. The Hetzes Hamitachas Silas Mitzrayim. Rishon removes the burden of Mitzrayim. He tells the Eschem Eved Hashem. The Rishon takes away the avoda. Says there can't be any lapse in time. There can't be any interruption between Vegalti and Velokachti. From Vitzesi, there can be time. You can have Vitzesi, the process of removing the burden of the Shibud of Mitzrayim to that solar from the Avoda. There can be a lapse. There can be a time lapse between the Vitzalti, Avoda Sum, and Vegalti. From a Goalti with Lukata, there can't be any lapse. Because when you take them out of the state of Ga'ul, of your Goal them, you're leaving them in limbo. What is their existence? You can't leave them hanging. You can't leave them, we are, what are we? So Lukata says, we are the nation which serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it has to be, and as soon as you leave Mitzrayim, immediately we start counting to the Sphira, to Matan Torah. We can't make can't have a time lapse between the two of them. Can't be any gap between the two of them. So, the message of the night of the Seder really is there's different elements of the message of the night of Seder is that the goal is this message that we are purposeful people. We are purposeful beings. So we have a role. We have a tremendous role. And I think it's played out in many different ways. One of the ways is the stress back to the connection to the Ovis. The Rosham remembers his bris. We talk about the fact that the Mitzchil of David Zohar Abbasenu, Ashikor HaMalkam Lavar HaSoy, and it brings the Psukim. that the Bereshit says he took Avram and brought him to Eretz Yisrael and gave him Yitzchak and then he gave him Yaakov and then there was a bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're part of a chain. We're part of a Masorah. We're part of an Am Hashem. We have a role. We have a goal. And the Bereshit took it out of Mitzrayim as Korah's Prisi. Right. It says that the Rosham saw our tzaras, saw our problems. The Rosham heard our shava, and then Eves Kares Brisi. And the Haggadah quotes these psukim and makes a big issue out of it. So as time passes, Melech Mitzrayim dies, which was also he was Nitzara, he became a Mitzara. Rashi brings he was Shechet the Tanakish Yisrael Varechitz Bedomim. Now if you look at the Chazal make it a little more gruesome. Chazal say that he shechted 150 children in the morning, 150 children in the evening. That's the lashon of the Medrash. 300 children a day he killed. The Targum Edison says they were dafka b'charim. So he found b'char was they represented the gadol habayis, the future. So he takes 150 b'charim of the children of Bnei Yisrael in the morning. Another the night, and this he does this. So Klal Yisrael, Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Mino that Vayizaku, Vatal Shabbosam El Hoelukim Mino Avido, Vayishmael Elukim Es Nakasam, Vayiskar Elukim Es Brisoy, Es Avraham Yitzchak Ves Yaakov, Vayar Elukim Es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elukim. So, give me a medrash. So the Medrash over here in these Psukim, there's a lot of different things which are happening in these Psukim. Vayishmalakim is not Kasama, Yiskarlakim is Brisai, Es Avraham Yitzchak. So the Bereshit heard that they're cry out. Thank you. So Medrash goes a whole list of different things. Vayarlakim is Bnei Yisrael, Vayedelakim. So what's exactly happening over here? So first it says the Yamashal Tsar Hoya that the Rechatim Yisrael he does a refu until he kills the Kanani Yisrael. So they called out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We use Karlakim as Prisoy, Nisrapa Mitzaratsoy. We are Lakim as Bnei Yisrael, Yed Lakim, Roya Anisi, Hidati. Shall you be out of Masim Tov Mashigala Bishvilam? They didn't have any schusim to leave. That's the Psukim. It's Ace Doidim, and they didn't have what to do. So Bershom gave them Bedavka Maisim, Bayarlakim. He gave them what to be girl the girl themselves. He gave him mitzvahs. And we quote that pasuk in the Haggadah. Nobody was mafarsim from the fact that they tshuva, they did it privately, and the Rosham knew about it. Davaracher. It says over here, Katam Agudas Ezov, So that as good as Ezoy was that. So the psukim seem to say that there was four reasons for the gula. There was the fact that Klai so davened. There was the breeze of the Ovis. There was the fact that Rashi did it l'man Shmoy, and the Rashi did it because he saw the future that Klaisel is going to say Nasa Benishma. Klaisel is going to say Zakeli. Klaisel has a future. What they're going to commit to. So there's four reasons for the Gula. But the common thread between all of them is this Nakuda that Klaisel has a role to play in the Bria. There is a Bris Ovis, and there's a Bris Ovis. That the Russian committed to the Bnei Avraham of Yaakov that they have a purpose. Klai so davens the Kodesh Baruch, and Russian listens to us. The Ramban and the Sporna, they all talk about these psukim. They stress this point of that Klai so has the power of tefillah. The reason why Klai so has the power of tefillah because we have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. Laman Shemar, that means the Rosham has a purpose for the Bria. The Rosham has a tachlis, the Bria has to come to. Well, how's it going to happen? Who's going to make that happen? Where's that going to come from? Klaisel was the one who makes that happen. Klaisel plays a role, integral role in the future of the Bria. So there has to be a Gula. And the Rosham knew that they're going to commit to Nasa and Ishma, they're going to commit to the Torah, etc. So all of the elements of the Gula are connected back to this idea that life has purpose. Klaisel has, each person has a role that he has to play in the Bria, each person has a role that he has to play, and he has to find that role and he has to figure out what it is. So Sharm says that, you know, Yisrael Chassidus, Shemesharis Avodah Tamimah, Shishbar B'Tamei Tzal Ola Machi Vosa B'Lamoy. So you think you can show that Machi Vosa, each person has his responsibility. And that's Hakadah, that's a tremendous avoider. Yisrael Chassidus, Shosh Avodah Tamima, the true avoider of a person is to find out what his role in life is. And he has to remain dedicated and focused on that. I said this idea over years ago. I'm sure I had some. Said it recently. Something called driveway companies, right? Well, less than this, driveway companies. Driveway companies? Okay. It's not so common nowadays. When I was a bocher, it was a very common thing. Driveway companies? Good. Okay, good. At least somebody remembers. What?
It still exists.
That's not so common. So, you know, it was the driveway company was created to be a boon for Yeshiva Bachram. That's why it was created, right? So the driveway company came up with a great idea. He says, listen, there are people who need to get cars from point A to point B, and they, whatever, you can't do it themselves. There are people who need to get from point A to point B and would love to drive a car from point A to point B. So if I can find a way to connect it to, I can make a lot of money. So he had this great idea. We had to go to Chicago. So he went to the driver company. Do you have any cars going to Chicago? He says, yeah, I got a car going to Arlington Heights, which is a suburb of Chicago. No problem. So he charged the fellow who owned the car $500, $1,000. He gave me a car full of gas, plus money to pay for gas and tolls. So it cost me nothing. I didn't make any money on it. So-and-so got his car to where he needed it. I got where I wanted to go. And he made $600 on the deal, right? It's a great business, you know. What's Gazan Shlech? You know, you have a lot of these young college students who are going all over the country. So while I was standing there in there, there's a fellow came in. He needs a car going to Tucson. He had a car going to Tucson. You know, I mean, there was like, you know, they're sending it to, once I took a car to New York. I mean, it was a great business. The time I took the car to New York was really fun because the car that I drove to New York was a Cadillac. So and it was being shipped to Sweden. So I had to deliver it to the dock in Newark, you know, I drive up in this Cadillac up to the Drakkar Nur, and I'm going to tell you, like, the people, like, you know, the full curve in front of me, until they get to the office, they're going to say, oh, you're just a driver. And you, like, you know, so I was like, okay, you know, like, you know, you're nobody, you're just a chauffeur, you know. But I mean, I, you know, and then I had to figure out how to get back from, you know, obviously I had a friend to come with you, because how to get back from the dock and Newark, that we had to go. But so I'm sitting there and saying, you know, there's one problem which the guy has to worry about, is that I might abscond with the car. So what they would do is they would take a picture of you from all sides, and they would fingerprint you in triplicate, and they would tell you you have X amount of time to get the car to where it has to go. And afterwards, they inform the FBI that you, because it's interstate usually between states, so it's going to be, it's in the jurisdiction of the FBI, and they inform the FBI that you've it's a federal offense, you've stolen a car over state lines. So that was how they sort of protected themselves from that. Then you would go and check the car. If there's any damage to the car, you wouldn't complain for it, you would mark it off, etc. So I'm sitting there, you know, so my car went to Chicago, and they gave me a day. So I had a day to drive, and the next day I had it delivered by a certain amount of, by, you know, 12 o'clock in the morning, it had to be delivered. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. Okay. So this guy's going to Tucson, and, you know, they gave him, I don't know, 3-4 days, whatever they gave him, because they figured he could drive 8 hours safely a day. So they, you know, they're not expecting him to drive. I'm sure going to, they don't, and so, so I think of myself, I think it's a Walding and Marshall. Says that they don't want you driving the 36 hours that it takes to drive to Tucson in one shot. Because the chances are that the car will not make it there safely, and you will not make it there safely either. They want you to take a rest. They want you to take a stop. They want you to take, right? But as long as you stay on the road and you know that your goal is to get from point A to point B, the fact that you take a rest is something positive. If you decide to take a vacation along the way and go visit somewhere in Topeka and have a good time, it's a federal offense. The point is that life has a purpose, life has a goal, doesn't mean that you can't have relaxation along the way. But because we need to be able to, that to be able to function. But if we make that the goal in life, then it's a federal offense. The person says, okay, you know, life is about having a good time. No, that's not, Russia put you in this world to get you and the world from point A to point B. That's your job. You can't, you're being moiled by kachin, you're being moiled by hektish. You're taking something which is holy, it's Bersham's neshama, Bersham's goof, Bersham's world, and using it for your own purposes. Excuse me, what are you doing? But it doesn't mean that you're supposed to, you know, grind yourself to pulp, that there's no day and there's no night. Right? It means that you're supposed to use the resources properly and respect the resources that you're given. And that respect that resource that you're given to use them wisely to get to where you have to go. But it takes a tremendous amount of thought of what you as an individual, what your purpose is and what your goal is. So we come to our Sinai, and it says, Anoch Hashem Elokecha. So Rashi says, really it was said the Klai Yisrael is a tzibur, she says, Anoch Hashem Elokecha. I'm your God in the plural. So Rashi says that the Bershom came to each individual person and asked them personally, are you going to Makabal Torah? There was a... And he said, each person said yes. I mean, each person had their own private relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That, because each one person has a different role. And the night of Pesach is a tremendously, it's an overwhelming moment. It's a moment when they realize that each person has his own individual relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's an expectation. 4/5 of Klai Yisrael did not leave. 4/5 of Klai Yisrael said, you know, we're not ready to take that step. That life is now something which is governed, and there's an expectation, and there's a role. It's easy, more says that an Eved, is, as much as he lives in a state of Avdus, but it's Zilalei, Pritzalei, Shchichalei. He can do whatever he wants. It's a life of no purpose. It's a life you're not defined as a mature individual which has a responsibility that you have to commit to. You're defined by something outside of yourself, and that's it. Whatever doesn't do it, doesn't do it. That the Russian expects something from me, and I have to live up to it, and I have to make that decision. It's a tremendously overwhelming, life decision. 4/5 of Kleiso said, we can't do it. We're not ready. Rashi says, I can't take you out. But at least what we have an advantage of, we are the descendants of that one fifth which made that commitment. Within the one fifth which our ancestors are the ones who have the strength and the fortitude to say we can commit to something. And from that vantage point, we, each one of us is you know, there's an expectation that we're going to make it happen. It's a beautiful thought, just like that all the speeches we have for the night of the Seder, Badafka, are over the mitzvahs. You know, talk is cheap. You know, you get up and you say this beautiful, inspiring drasha about, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about doing. So at the end of the day, all of the drashas that we have, all the speeches that we have is to make us sit down and eat matzah in Kedechilis Pras, Behaseva, in the Shir, da da da, you know, which is hard. Rabbi, it's overwhelming. Okay, good. That's exactly what the whole Seder is about. The Seder is about committing to things which aren't easy. So the first thing we make you do is we make you eat matzah. So the person kvetches, eating matzah is hard. Yeah, cleaning for Pesach is hard. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. That's exactly what life is about. Life is about things which are not easy. Because the greatness in Klal Yisrael is defined by the fact that we stand up to things which aren't easy, and we do that. We stand up, each person finds his role and his responsibility and says, I'm ready to do it. You know, and tonight you're going to eat two kazaisim for matzah, then you're going to eat more, then you're going to eat a karech of a kazaisim, more and matzah together. You're going to eat two kazaisim afikayim, and you're going to have in between you're going to be nice to your wife and to your mother and enjoy the suda and smile about it while watching your clock to make sure you get the chatzos. Right? And then you're going to have a few more kazaisim, and it's going to end at you know, whatever time in the morning. And you're going to get up tomorrow morning for davening with a smile on your face because I was given a chance to show my commitment. That's what Seder is. Seder is, yes, I can live with a defining of purpose and order imposed upon my time. Because that's what life is about, is imposing decisions and actions and purposeful decisions and actions with my time. The most precious commodity I have is time. And I'm going to commit to define myself based on that. And immediately afterwards, I start counting to Samatan Torah because I recognize the value of time. So it's a little bit of the window into the idea of Seder, which is given to us on the night of Pesach.